Well, last Sunday evening, a number of us gathered here at the church to watch the movie, The Son of God. And if you've not seen this, I would just encourage you to download it or to maybe rent it, because I'm doing a four-part series on this that'll lead us right up to Easter, and the first message is today. And in our time together, we're going to be looking at Jesus' question that he posed to his disciples of, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And today, we're going to partially answer this question by recognizing that Jesus is the Son of Man. Who is Jesus? Who do you say I am? Jesus, you're the Son of Man. The healing of the paralytic is found in three of the four Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but today I want us to look at Luke's account from his fifth chapter. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you can do so. Or if you want to just watch the screen, I'll also have those scriptures up on the screen. Now, did you happen to notice in the video how Jesus referred to himself? What name, what title does he give of himself? What was it? Son of Man, Son of Man. We see this in verse 24 in the book of Luke. It says that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Now, Jesus called himself the Son of Man. In fact, he is called the Son of Man 88 times in the New Testament. Jesus said things like foxes have dens and the birds of air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another time he said, like, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And you see, many would have recognized this as a direct reference to the prophecy of Daniel from hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, who wrote, I looked and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Oh, when Jesus called himself the Son of Man, he was making a direct reference here to his identity, a direct reference that he is Messiah. He is Messiah. But you know, the phrase Son of Man also refers to the fact that Jesus shares in our humanity. You see, God also called Ezekiel, Son of Man. He did so 93 times. But in doing so, he wasn't calling Ezekiel the Messiah. He was simply calling Ezekiel a human being. Of course, the Jews of Jesus' day expected the Messiah to truly be fully human. Jesus didn't surprise anyone by being human. He surprised them by being far much more than just human. And so the title, Son of Man, means that Jesus, you see, is not out of touch. Jesus is not out of touch with us. He knows what it is to work. In fact, Jesus knows what blisters felt like. Jesus knows what it is to pay bills. In fact, he helped support a single parent family. Jesus knows what it is to face disappointment and rejection and betrayal and grief. He knows what it is to be like you, to be like me. He's able to identify in your sorrows and in your sufferings, as well as your pleasures and your successes. And so Jesus, this Son of Man, is one we can identify with. And most importantly, maybe, Jesus is the one in which we can approach. He is the one in which we can come to. We see this. We truly see this in the story of the paralytic. Luke 5:17 says this. It says, one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. In fact, it seemed like these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, And they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. And then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to have friends like this? I mean, here they are. They are there for you just no matter what. No way in this world are they going to take no for an answer. You know, when they see this crowd, these friends, all of those pressing in on Jesus, no way to get their friend to Jesus, they don't give up. No, they didn't say, well, this is just too difficult, or let's just wait until a better time, a more opportune time. No. These friends don't take no for an answer. They knew that if they could just get this man, their friend, in front of Jesus, it was going to be life-changing. And so they make their way to Jesus, the only way in which they can, by climbing up on this roof. And there they start ripping up the tiles and the sticks and the straw between these beams. And they lower their paralyzed friend into the room where Jesus is teaching. Isn't that a great story? There's a few things that I want you to get from this scene, okay? There's a few things that we don't want to miss here. The first thing is that we need to be friends like this to our friends, okay? We need to be friends like this to our friends. We have to go the distance and do whatever it is necessary to bring our friends to Jesus, not putting it off to some more opportune time, or not telling ourselves that it's just really too difficult or too inconvenient, but doing whatever it takes to introduce our friends to our best friend. Man, we need to be friends like this with our friends. The second thing that I want you to get from this is that these men had compassion for their friend. And church, that's something our world needs more of, and that's compassion. We need more compassion. Compassion is the heart of God. Oh, you see, Jesus saw their heart and he responded to their faith and he healed this man. And church, for better or for worse, our faith really does impact the lives of those people who are around us. Your faith can lead someone to Jesus. Your faith can grow someone in Jesus. Faith, you see, is contagious. In fact, it is the most contagious thing in this world. Our faith is to be like that, contagious. You know, I became a person of faith because there were those who were around me who showed me compassion, who showed me what faith is. They lived faith. And you know, I imagine a number of us this morning can identify with that also. We need to be compassionate for people, and we need to have faith for others. Colossians chapter 4:3 says, pray that God will give us an opportunity to tell people his message. Do we do that? Oh, do we do that? Or does that frighten us? Oh, don't let it frighten you. Oh, you have within you that which can truly lead someone else to Jesus. You have within you that which can truly help someone grow in Jesus. Romans 5:2 tells us that we should all be concerned about our neighbor and the good things that will build his faith. So, the third thing then I want you to get from this understanding of the healing of the paralytic and what this shows us is that when those men lowered their friend down to Jesus, oh listen, that didn't bother Jesus at all. Notice that. When they lowered him and interrupted what he was doing, that didn't bother Jesus at all. Jesus didn't say, hey, come on, guys, you know, I'm in the middle of something. No, he didn't call for security. He apparently stopped what he was doing, and he gave this paralyzed man his attention. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Because what I want you to get is that Jesus, the Son of Man, is infinitely approachable. Always. Always. Jesus is infinitely approachable. And apparently, these friends of the paralytic trusted that. They had faith that Jesus would see them. They believed that he would notice their friend. They believed that Jesus could do something that no one else could. And church, Jesus hasn't changed. And all these years, Jesus hasn't changed. The Son of Man is infinitely approachable. He'll not turn you away. He'll not turn his back on you. He'll not turn up his nose. But he also will not force himself on you. He'll wait for you to come. And so we are to come. Whatever our past, whatever our issues, whatever our excuses, our obstacles, or maybe our objections might be, we are to just come to Jesus and let nothing stand in our way. Let nothing keep you away. Because you see, the Son of Man is one in whom we can identify with, one we can approach, and one that we can come to. Now, the second thing that I want you to see here about the Son of Man is that this Son of Man is the one we can find forgiveness through. Forgiveness. Luke 5:20 says to us that when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." You catch that? Luke's gospel doesn't say when Jesus saw the faith of this man lying on the mat. It says when Jesus saw their faith. Who are the theirs? Who's the there? It's the friends. It's the ones carrying this man to Jesus. Now, we don't know how much faith this man on the mat had. We don't know if this man said anything at all to Jesus. But what we do know is that in all three Gospels, all three of the writers tell us that when Jesus saw the faith of this paralyzed man's friends, Jesus extended forgiveness to this paralyzed man. Oh, now, without a doubt, these men brought their friends to Jesus for healing. I have no doubt of that. Yet this man received far more than what he or his friends ever thought possible. What a surprise when these men hear Jesus pronouncing forgiveness. Yet, this should also show us what the Son of Man sees as most essential for us as his people. And that's the healing of our souls. The healing of our souls. The forgiveness of our sins, which means reuniting of our lives with the Father as we align our hearts in unity and cooperation with Him. You see, I think Jesus extended forgiveness to this man before he healed him because Jesus is always eager to forgive. Jesus, the Son of Man, is infinitely gracious. Oh, no doubt this man came to experience healing from Jesus, but Jesus first and foremost wanted him to experience forgiveness. And just as this was true for the paralytic church, this is true for you. This is true for me. Whether it's forgiveness for the sins of a lifetime or the forgiveness of sins that we might have committed this past week, or maybe the forgiveness of what we said on the drive over here to church this morning, Jesus is ready to forgive always. And so find forgiveness. It's yours, it's mine for the asking always. And just as the forgiveness of our sins really means the reuniting of our lives with the Father and the aligning of our hearts in unity and cooperation with Him, so we too, as God's church, as God's people, are to care for one another in the same way, to cooperate, to align ourselves in unity with one another. Listen, having unity as God's people is essential and letting the world know about Jesus. The birth of the early church in Acts 2:1 could have never happened if the 120 weren't in unity. The Bible says that they were all in one accord, and that's not a Honda, but the accord, they were one accord in full unity, in complete cooperation. And that word cooperation has everything to do with the word unity. To unite, to join, to align, to support, to encourage, to edify one another. But you know, way too often in our world, and even in our church, people still struggle with edifying, to build up, to lift up, to encourage. It just seems that it's so much easier to tear down than it is to build up. It's so much easier to pull down and destroy than it is to build up and to lift up. Yet we should know that this is not of God, but church, that is nothing less than from the evil one. It's kind of like the story I heard about a woman standing in front of a mirror telling her husband. She says, "You know, I just can't believe this. I'm so out of shape. I'm old, I'm wrinkled, my hair is gray, and I'm no longer pretty." And she looks at her husband and she says, "Honey," she said, "I need a romantic compliment." And her husband replied, "Oh, baby, it's okay. Your eyesight is still incredible, you know?" It is so easy to tear down. Oh, but listen, God's people are called to encourage and to edify and to build one another up, not to be in all critical and judgy with one another or with our world. Casting judgments and critical hearts can cause and will cause disunity, and they are nothing less than destructive and toxic. And so then the last thing that I want us to glean from this story of the paralytic is that the Son of Man brings healing as being fully God and understanding as being fully man. Jesus, being fully God, not only forgave this man his sins, but he also shows us that he has the authority to forgive sins. By doing what no human being could possibly do, he brought supernatural healing to this man's physical body. Luke chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that the Pharisee and the teachers of the law, they begin thinking to themselves, "Well, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God, and everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." And yes, they did. They saw, they experienced the creative hand of God at work in their lives, even in their midst, even when those pious, they also saw, even when these pious, religious people of God pointed that critical finger in judgment, oh, Jesus understood their hearts and challenged them to even believe upon him. Church, listen, Jesus reveals himself as the Son of Man. He demonstrated that he has the authority to forgive sins. He proved that he also has the ability to heal. Jesus, the Son of Man, is infinitely powerful, and that has not changed. That will never change. It is as true here today as it was in Capernaum then. It is as true for you as it was for the paralytic And so whatever your need, whether that be physical or mental or emotional or spiritual, encouragement, whatever, the Son of Man is as ready and able to heal as He is to forgive. He can heal a broken heart. He can heal broken relationships. He can heal weariness. He can heal your worry. He can heal your body. He can heal our spirits. There is nothing too great for the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Messiah. So come to Him, the one that you can approach. Experience forgiveness. Receive healing. Let's pray. Loving God, Jesus, Messiah, God, we thank You that You are not out of touch with us. God, that You are the one who can identify with us. You are the one that we can approach. You are the one, God, that we can come to. And Lord, You bring us forgiveness, and You bring us hope, and You bring us life, Jesus. You are the one who can bring healing and understanding, healing as the Son of God, being fully God, and understanding as being fully human in all that we face. And so, God, You know us better than what we truly even know ourselves. We ask, Lord, that You move in the lives of each and every person this day. For those who need a special touch, a special healing or an encouragement or hope. And we would ask, God, that You would move in each life today and to bring that. We trust You, Jesus, and we have faith to walk with You and to love You together and to share that love with one another. We just give You praise, Jesus, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.